Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. Yesterday, we read the story about a woman named Lydia who met Paul. Paul shared with her and some other women the good news about Jesus. We looked yesterday at how these were signs of Paul's generosity, that he would travel around the Mediterranean at his own expense, sharing good news about Jesus even when it was at great personal risk. And he was able to adapt when he couldn't find a synagogue where he could normally find some Jewish men to speak to. He sacrificed and risked some cultural norms to go and visit some women down by the water who were at a place of prayer. One of those women was Lydia, and we'll just retell the bit of the story that we read yesterday that focuses in on her.
One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us.
So it says here, Lydia was a seller of purple goods. Have you ever met one before? I know I have been to stores where they sold a couple purple things, but I would never have actually called somebody a purple merchant before. But that's what Lydia is called here, and that may not seem to make much sense to us today, but for people in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, this meant something. A seller of purple goods was somebody who sold purple fabric, which was very expensive. The dye that they needed to use to dye something purple was very difficult to get at, very expensive. The Bible is basically telling us that she's a luxury fashion dealer. She deals in the most luxurious clothing possible, and she sells that cloth to make clothing for the elite of her day. You can see some signs of this elsewhere in the Bible. When Jesus was being tortured before he died, he was dressed in purple, and that was a way for people to mock his claims to be the King of the Jews. They put him in purple to make fun of him, because purple was the color of royalty. So Lydia was used to traveling in some pretty wealthy circles, and she was probably pretty wealthy herself. This wasn't cheap inventory to carry, a bunch of purple cloth, and she probably sold it at a decent markup. Many sellers of luxury goods are able to do that. They can really bring up the price because what they have is so hard to find, and it's sold at a premium. Now, the Bible also tells us that she was a worshiper of God. And what does that mean? Well, it means that she was not a Jew. She wasn't born a Jew, but she was studying and learning what it would mean to follow the God of Judaism, to worship him. She was in the process of converting as much as was possible for someone not born a Jew themselves ethnically. It seems she was learning, growing, spending time obviously with the other Jewish women in this place of prayer. But then when Paul comes and talks about Jesus, it seals the deal. She is committed to the God of Israel and his son, Jesus Christ. She says she wants to be baptized. She wants to become a follower of Jesus, and it happens right away. Now, this wasn't an easy decision to make. If we look back to earlier in the book of Acts, Acts 2, we see that one of the key hallmarks of the Christian community was that they shared their possessions. So here we have a wealthy woman who moves in wealthy circles, who probably has some expensive inventory, who's made a decision that entails her joining a community where she'll need to share her possessions. Wouldn't be, you know, might have given her second thoughts, right? Lots of people would hesitate before making a decision like this. Doesn't seem like she did, though. She immediately says, "I'm ready, I want to be baptized, let's go," whatever it means. There's a willing and generous heart behind her decision. We can see that it took hold. Paul was generous to her, sharing the good news of Jesus with her, even though she lived a long way from where he came from. And now she becomes generous too. She immediately turns around and insists that Paul and his companions come and stay in her home. He at first refuses, but she insists, "You have to come, you have to spend some time here. I need to feed you, I need you to stay at my home." She's clearly gotten the message that generosity is an important part of following Jesus, and now she is already starting to live it out, being generous to the first people who brought her this good news. She's been blessed in this life. Now she's been blessed by these followers of Jesus, so she immediately turns it around to bless others as well, including her family. tells us that she shared this good news with her family, and her whole household was part of this decision to follow Jesus. Generosity just keeps getting paid forward, passed on. Now, this doesn't mean that she liquidated all her assets immediately and just took a giant loss to follow Jesus. What she did is she started to share what she had. She probably has a nice home, so she opens it up to others. She has possessions, so she starts to bless and care for others and feed others. We see the generosity in her in particular because of the possessions that she has. Now, all this generosity is meant to be a sign of how Jesus has transformed her life and how she's thankful to Paul for bringing that message to her. It says as much right in the Bible. It says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." She wants her generosity and hospitality to be a sign of her conviction and her conversion. Well, more on this tomorrow, but in the meantime, here's a question for you to explore and discuss with some friends. Would anyone in your life see your generosity as proof of your faith? What would it take for them to see it if they aren't already? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.